You're listening to the Westside Podcast, a part of the LA International Church of Christ family of churches, worshiping God in LA since 1989.
All right. So for those of you who do not know me, my name is Aaron Henderson. It's nice to formally/informally meet all of you. I know that there's still like a lot of people here that I don't know. I've been here for about, almost 3 years now. So still relatively new in, as far as the history of the church. So afterwards, like, come and say hi to me. I don't bite, I promise. So we've been in this year-long series where we have been going through the book of John. And we've had this vision to, our vision for the year is to be able to focus on Jesus. And so last week, Steve left off in John chapter 14. And so we're just going to pick up right after in John chapter 15. So you will turn with me there. And if you're willing and able, if you wouldn't mind just standing with me, join me in standing, just as a way to, with our whole bodies, honor the reading of Scripture. John 15, verse 1. Says this. This is Jesus speaking. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it can be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in me. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so whatever you ask in the name of the Father will be given to you. This is my command. Love each other. Amen. You can go ahead and take a seat. I love this scripture. It is, it's a fairly common one. And so I think sometimes it can be easy to overlook it, right? Or for it to become commonplace. So a little bit of context of what's happening here in John chapter 15 with this sort of, it's kind of a parable, kind of not. So Jesus is, he's about to be betrayed. He knows what's happening. You know, the time is nearing, right? And so later on, he's going to be arrested, going to be taken in, tried, and eventually he's going to be crucified. So Steve had talked a little bit last week. Now, just before this, what he's doing is he's promising that there's going to be an advocate. There's somebody, like, he's going to leave, but there's still going to be somebody that's going to come, this advocate, this Paracletos, or the Holy Spirit, is going to come and still be with his disciples. And so he kind of goes through a little bit of trying to explain, you know, the Trinitarian relationship that's there. And so what he's doing is he's using an analogy. It's a fairly common analogy, at least in this particular time and setting. It's a really agrarian culture. So, you know, if you're in the Mediterranean Near East, there's vineyards everywhere, right? You know, grapes and olives and stuff like that. So it's something that they're familiar with. So he's like, let me put this in a context for you guys to understand, because this is important. Because I'm not about to be here, so I don't want y'all asking any questions. So, you know, here it is. And so he's providing instructions for them of what it looks like to live a life with him when he's not there. I don't know if that is something that seems interesting to you, but I would like to learn a little bit more at least. And so what he's doing here is he's illustrating what it's like to essentially be spiritually formed, right? This is the beginnings of what some of the things that we've been talking about here in the West Side about spiritual formation. And so, you know, throughout the Old Testament, it's a really common analogy for God to think of the vine, or to use the vine to describe Israel. So they understand, you know, the language in which that he's speaking in, but he flips it on his head. He says, you know, I'm the true vine, me. So Jesus is the vine now at this point. And there's a lot of different scriptures, you know, that talk about that as far as the vine being usually referred to Israel. So they've got a new paradigm shift that he's trying to walk them through. And so what is this word that he keeps saying over and over again in this passage? The word in your Bibles, sometimes it says remain. Some of your versions, it might say abide in there. So the Greek here is the word meno, and, you know, it can mean to abide or to dwell. There's other passages within scripture that it's used when talking about to make your home in. And so what is he doing? He's creating this invitation for us to make our home in Jesus. Being with Jesus, living and making our home in constant connection with him. What does that look like? The question that I think sometimes we get a little bit mixed up, particularly in here, it's not are you abiding, but rather what are you abiding in? Everybody's always, you're connected to something, right? You're always being formed by something. So it's a matter of what it is that you're being formed in. So what's the natural emotional center of your heart? Where does your mind go when it's not busy? Where does it return to? Or maybe where's the source of comfort that it does go to when it is busy or that it is stressed? What are you abiding in? Where do you retreat to when you want to find a sense of peace or joy or contentment? What is that? And what sort of fruits is it going to produce? Because if we abide in the vine, if we abide in Jesus, it says it's going to produce fruits that are going to last, right? Yeah. That sounds good to me. But what type of fruits does your vine produce? What we give our attention to is what we then become formed by. Yeah. We are what you give your attention to. And that's important because it's going to dictate what type of fruit it is that you're going to end up producing. So if you're abiding in social media or that slab of metal and glass that's in your pocket, what sort of fruit is that going to produce in you? We're in a really tumultuous time right now. We've got an election year here. Yeah. This is going to make you more angry, more anxious, more distracted. If you're abiding in that, there is a litany of streaming platforms that we have access to. What sort of fruit does that produce? A restlessness, easily bored? What is it that you're watching or ingesting? Is that someone that makes you lustful, not present to the reality that you're currently in? Is that a form of escapism for you? We live in West LA. I love living in West LA. It's really difficult to live here, amen, but there's a reason for that. It's awesome. We recently traveled, my wife and I traveled out of country over the summer. And when we came back here, we were like, oh, that's why everybody likes it here so much. It's kind of great. Like, we can complain about what it's like to be here all the time. And then we go a place and they're like, wow, you live in LA, it must be awesome. And I'm like, it's okay. And then we get back here and you're like, dude, this is actually pretty baller. But maybe it's just hedonism, right? Another experience that you can go to, something that's Instagram worthy, another drink, another restaurant, another hookup, anything just to numb you for a little bit. What sort of fruit does that bear? Compulsive behavior, addiction, shame, bitterness that perpetuates that cycle. When we're rooted in Jesus, we're slowly, and I emphasize slowly, this is not something that you just do one time. It's like, cool, I'm in Jesus and I'm great. He says, no, remain in me. If we're rooted in Jesus, we are slowly grow the fruits of the Spirit. Fruits that are going to last. So about this fruit. So in John 15, verse 2, there's two different words within the scripture that I want to draw attention to. One, in your in some of your Bibles, it might say cut, right? So any branch that doesn't bear fruit, he's going to cut it. And then the other one is pruning. So even the branches that do bear fruit, there's still stuff that needs to happen to those. And so if we are to focus on Jesus and abiding in him, right, we're making our home, we're dwelling, we're holding to his commandments, that means that there are some things in our lives that we have to stop abiding in. You feel me? So the Greek word for that cut that's there, in the Greek, it's the word arrow. And it means literally just to raise up or to lift, right? So sometimes, you know, in the translation where it says to cut, sometimes that gives a little bit more of like of a violent take to it, like God's out to get you, you know, like, oh, you got no fruit, you're gone, right? And so your value is based off what it is that you produce. Not the case. So sometimes that does mean to cut, right? So you've got a branch that needs to be cut, but literally just means to just lift up, just means to raise or take away. It needs to not be where it is right now. So you take it up and you go somewhere else and you put it over there or whatever. And sometimes that means it's the burning pile because it's no good. And other times it might just be, you know, it might be a branch that is on the floor and it's not in position to grow properly. Something needs to change. It needs to be taken away, right? What are some of those things that maybe in your life, you just got to get rid of them. You just need to move them. Take them somewhere else. Maybe that does mean cutting, but something needs to change. And so when we talk about removing something from our lives, that can be a painful experience. Sometimes it's something that's voluntary. Sometimes it's something you feel like you've had no say in it at all. And that can be difficult. But it's all in the name of being able to prepare fruit. So what does that fruit actually look like? Galatians 5, verse 22, it says this, but the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All of those things sound really, really good to me. And so if I continue to remain in Jesus with the focus and understanding that over time I'm eventually going to be formed into the type of person that just, this stuff just naturally happens. There's no extra effort for me to like, I got to go and I got to grow all this fruit. It's just a way of being. And I love that. There are things in our life that are producing some sort of type of fruit, but it's not those. What does that look like for you? Is it the thing that you watch, how you spend your time, how you treat your body, what you put into it, maybe what comes out of it, what do you say? If those are branches that are bearing anything that are not those, it's time to get rid of them and to really think about what that means. The more time that we spend abiding in the vine, cultivating the Spirit, practicing the presence of Jesus, the more clearly we're going to be able to discern what's good fruit and what's not good fruit. The enemy is really, really, really good at disguising good fruit to like for it to look like it's good fruit. But it's not. Usually just read pages 1 and 2 in the Bible. There's a whole thing about fruit and it doesn't end well. So there's so many things that are out there that look like growth, right? Like the job that you have, maybe it's a relationship that you're in. There's all these up and to the right metrics that we're like, things are going really well. I'm growing, but it's not real fruit. So in an effort to try to partake in different activities or something like that don't involve technology, I work in tech for like every day. That's my job. I'm a designer. And so I'm trying to do things that take me away from that world, right? Because I'm like, maybe all of these things are not as spiritually forming for me as I might think that they are. So I'm like, okay, what's something else that I can do that doesn't involve technology a lot? So one of the things I started doing is taking care of houseplants. So I got some plants, trying to be a plant daddy. And so far, I think it's actually going fairly well, right? Like my goal is just to be Hanley at some point. I don't know if you've been to his house, if you've seen all the plants that he has. It's Farmer Hanley. So that's where I want to end up. But I'm just starting, you know, I'm starting with my houseplants for right now. So in this picture that you see that's on the left-hand side, this is large like pothos plant that we have. Her name's Virginia. What we have to do is sometimes she ended up getting too long. So that bookshelf is actually like where the plant sits is about where my head is. And where it's ending right now, this is after it's been cut, by the way, or pruned, is like at my knee. So before it was like on the floor. And so we're like, all right, well, we've got to prune it, right? We got to cut it. It's growing just fine. In fact, it's doing great. She's thriving. We love that. Same thing with the plant over to the right. His name's Monty. And so he's a Monticera plant. And so what we had to do is we had to prune him too, right? He's growing really well, but he's growing in a weird kind of lopsided direction that over time it wasn't going to be sustainable, you know, fruit that wasn't going to last. And so we ended up pruning him. So, you know, you cut the buds and then we replanted him in these other little pots. And now he's growing even stronger than he was before. But it required me to cut him. So the word that the scripture uses here is prune. In the Greek, the word is kathairo. It just means to cleanse or to purify or literally just to prune unuseful branches from a vine. So even with fruit, or even with branches that are growing, that might even be bearing fruit, they still need to be pruned. Left to itself, a branch can produce a really good deal of unproductive growth. So pruning is essential. I think what happens is sometimes we don't end up wanting to be pruned, so we don't remain in the vine. Because we like growth more than anything, because it feels good. Or maybe we start even to seeing some of the fruits from that growth. You get that new job, and you get that new paycheck, and you're like, I've been working so hard for this. It almost feels like God is, maybe I even prayed for it. God is working in my life. Something is happening. There's fruit that's here, and you don't want to touch it after that. And you don't want anybody else to touch it after that. Things are really going good. It's been so long. Maybe you're in, like, you got that new relationship that's there, and it's like, no, things are going really, really, really great. I really like them, and they actually like me, and my mom likes them. My mom doesn't like anybody. And I like them, and they're cute. And, like, things are going really good. There's a nice little bubble that's here, and I don't want anybody to touch it. I like the feeling of growth. Things are happening right now. There's fruit that's there. I don't need to be pruned. Look how much I'm growing. If things are going so well for me, why would God want to take anything away from me? Then it starts to warp our idea and our picture of God's character and who he is. Jesus is saying, he loves you. I'm inviting you into this community of love. And we're thinking, no, things are going fine, and all you want to do is take stuff away from me. There's vines over here where I can get fruit, seemingly fruit, and I don't have to give up anything. It's all up and to the right. Maybe this has worked for me before, so I'm just going to stick with that. Because there's a period of time where after you prune a plant, it don't look great. It look kind of ugly, right? You got to wait for it to grow again. And so in that period of waiting, or in that period of hardship, or whatever it is that's happening, we can easily romanticize what it was like when we were growing and how that felt. Oh, you know what we need to do? We got to go back to when we were growing all that fruit. That's what we got to be doing. And then we just stick with that and we don't move it. This is the model that works. This is how it's going to go. This is really, this quote's deadly. I love this. This is a biblical scholar. He's out in Grand Rapids, Michigan. His name is Merrill Tenney. And he says this, dead wood is worse than fruitlessness. For dead wood can harbor disease and decay. God removes the dead wood from his church and disciples the life of a believer so that it can be directed into fruitful activity. I think we have a problem sometimes when it comes to confusing fruits of the Spirit with just growth. Bearing fruit is not about production. It is not, hey, what can I do in order to get this stuff? I need to go out and do things. We don't get value in the kingdom of God from how much you just do. Oh, but I'm doing all the right stuff. Why is it not growing the way that I want it to? Or why are you trying to take it away? The call is to remain. Just be with Jesus. That's all. And sometimes we get into a heavy production mindset, even with the church. Well, how long did I pray for? Or how long was my quiet time for? Or what's the amount that I gave? Or, you know, how soon are my kids going to get baptized and make Jesus Lord of their life? Or how many Hope Youth Corps have I been on, and how spiritual does that make me? And if I'm not doing that, do I need to do more in another area? Do I need to step up? Do I need to lead in this way? Or is there something else I need? Like, do. How big is the ministry that we have? What do the growth metrics look like for that? A value comes from simply just being with Jesus, doing the long, hard, slow, sometimes painfully boring and mundane, but beautiful and rewarding and spiritually refreshing work of abiding in the vine. Last year, the U.S. Surgeon General issued a national advisory, and he concluded that U.S. is a loneliness epidemic. If you remember, if you cast back all the way to last year, CJ actually talked about this a little bit. And so there's the excerpt there, and you can go ahead and read it. On your own time, it's actually a really interesting study. But the general consensus that we all understand is there is something wrong. There's something missing. And the last component of this scripture that we talk about is the Trinitarian community of love that God is calling us into. And I think that the loneliness that we all feel, regardless of what stage of life you're in or where you're at or what you do, I think there's a direct correlation to that lack of connection in the vine. Like, realistically, I was telling my wife, and I was even telling CJ about this, like, preparing for this was, like, a lot more difficult for me than maybe, like, normally preparing for a teaching might be. I'm a creative person. I work in a creative field, and I really love it, and it's life-bringing. But I'm also a fairly analytical person. Like, I'm pretty left-brained. You can ask my wife. It's our detriment sometimes. I'm a little bit too analytical in that. And so it can be really easy to understand intellectually that God loves me. Like, I know that. If you told me, people go up to the street, do you know that God loves you? I'm like, yeah, dude, I do. I do know that God loves me. And I'm like, and I'm jazzed about that. And I'm like, same, me too. But I don't always feel that way. when I talk, when we read the scripture, we talk about being connected to the vine and the fruits of the Spirit that, you know, that we have, I'm like going through this and I'm like, I know all this stuff, but I'm like, I do not live like this. It is really challenging. And sometimes you're trying to like, you're trying to get into the zone when you're writing something. And sometimes you're like, yeah, you know, the Spirit's awesome. And like, you're just like really inspired. And you're like, man, I just want to share it with everybody. That was like not my experience like reading this passage over and over and over again. It was just increasingly becoming more aware of like how broken I am. And I was like, oh, and I can't like do anything about it. Like I can understand it and learn about it and read too much Greek than a normal person should have any business doing. But it doesn't, it didn't change me. And like here I am prepping for this and I'm reading scripture and then I go and I see how I respond to my wife or how I am at work or when I'm alone. It was almost like I couldn't be trusted with my own thoughts. I was like, this just isn't, like I know too much to continue living like this. Like this is just not, I don't even know another way to explain it. And it's one of those things where like you might be in an experience where you're in a room full of people. I'm in a community that loves me. I'm in a marriage with a wife that loves me. I serve a God who loves me. Even when I have time to myself and I'm like, oh, this is nice. I'm at peace and I feel like I'm at rest. There's still like this, sometimes it's a short window of like, I'm alone. Every growth metric that you might have. I just got a new job. I moved into a nicer apartment. I just started seeing somebody. Things are going like good. Like you count up the pros and cons list and there's a lot more pros you got going on right now. There are cons. And you're like, I should be happy. I'm growing. There's fruit. Why do I feel so lonely? And I think that there's a moment where you have that deep unsettling ache that's there. And I think this is where Jesus is talking about. Maybe there's a moment that's there that you don't quite have words for. And so what you do is you quickly try to just distract yourself so that it goes away. And it's like, instead of leaning in to the vine, instead of dwelling and making my home in Jesus, I will distract myself away. Ronald Rollheiser has this great line. He says, currently we are distracting ourselves into oblivion. And so what I could do is I could just refresh my screen. I could just binge another show. I could just see if they're up. I could retreat to whatever it is for you that only lasts for a while. Eventually, you keep swiping into the same picture. You've watched pretty much everything that you want to watch on Netflix or whatever, and you come to the end of where you are. I think that it can be really difficult to admit at times that we're lonely. But this is what I love. Moving on here, Jesus talks about the community of love within the Father. He's like, there's this thing going on that's been going on since the very beginning of time. I am and always have been existing in community. God has never been alone. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all in this like weird co-mingling, like glorifying yet mutually submissive relationship. And it's beautiful. It's awesome. Steve talked about this a little bit last week. And so the invitation here is, hey, I'm inviting you into that. You get to be a part of that. You remain in me and I remain in you. And if you hold to my commands, you do what I say, I'll do what you say. God says that. He's like, if you ask for it in my name, I'll do it. And so we have an opportunity to enter into this type of loving community with the Father. It's the God that sees that innermost aching part of your personhood that just longs to know and to be known more than anything else in the world, that even when things are going really, really good for you and it looks really nice and everything is up and to the right, you're like, I know that, but I still don't feel it. This is it. Remain in me as I remain in you, and you will bear fruit, fruit that lasts. He says, just love, love one another. In the same way that I have loved you, I want you to do that to others. What does that look like? I think it's sometimes really easy for some of us to just feel the blessing and the love and the showering of God. But the second that we're called to go shower that out on somebody else, we're like, ooh, I don't know about all that. Like, I know God loves me and I feel it. Amen. Praises. And then it's like, all right, cool. Great. See this new little club, this community that we have, and your life's been changed, and amen, glory to God, you made Jesus, Lord of your life. You're like, great. Now we're going to go invite other people. And you're like, oh, but I don't know about all that. Maybe I'll give them like 50% of how much God loves me, and that's pretty good. Maybe like 80, 95 if I like you, and it's easier and it's convenient to me. Loving one another, that's all he asks. What is that gonna look like for you? So moving forward throughout your week, what are we taking away from this? Practice being with Jesus. I don't know what that looks like for you. Sometimes it can be really busy. So maybe that's one of those things where just in the few moments that you have before your child starts screaming or, you know, whatever the case may be, you live a busy life, you just take a moment and you say, I'm abiding in Jesus. I make my home in the Lord. And maybe it's just as quick as that. Maybe you set a timer throughout your day. Maybe it's fixed hour prayer. Maybe it's just getting time with somebody. What does it look like to practice the presence of Jesus, to abide in the vine? Secondly, just love up on somebody. Maybe you're in a position right now where you're like, I'm experiencing the fruit, and it's awesome. And sometimes you want to covet that because either you're scared of being pruned, or maybe you've been hurt by other people. Maybe it's people within a church community. But that's not an excuse to withdraw. It's an invitation to lean in. Throughout this week, just pick one person. Don't got to be everybody. Maybe you don't even have to pick the hardest person right now. That's just not where you are. Just get a layup this week. I'm going to take you out to lunch. You all right? I'm going to spend time with you. Whatever it is that their love language is, love somebody. Produce some of that fruit. So what we like to do here before we get geared up for communion is we like to have a little bit of time and discussion. So amongst yourselves and some of the people that are around you, three questions. You don't got to answer all of them. Just pick one. Maybe share with somebody. One, what is it that you are abiding in? It's not a matter of if you are. It's just a matter of what. You are abiding in something. You are being formed by something. What is that? What areas in your life do you think you need to let God take away or prune? Have you been hiding something or coveting something that way? And three, where in your life are you seeing fruits of the Spirit? All right, so we're going to take the next few minutes, 2 or 3 minutes or so. You can discuss that with the people around you. Amen. All right, guys, we're going to bring it back in. We're going to go ahead and I'm going to pray for the communion. Dear Heavenly Father, God, thank you so much just for an opportunity to be able to come and just to abide, God, just to dwell, that you would have us, that you would invite us into loving community with you, God. And even though we know we are not worthy of it, but God, there's no greater love than for one to lay down their life for their friends. And you did that, God. You called this friend. You laid down your life for us, God. I pray that as we just abide and as we cultivate the Spirit and as we grow attuned, God, and as we get connected, you know, with community, you know, discipleship is not something that can be done alone. And you knew that, God, and you love us in that way. And we're so grateful for that, God. I pray that we can think about that as we just take the cup, God, as we take the bread, just to remind ourselves of the love that you have, the love that you call us to pour out on others. We love you so much. We pray all this in your son's name. Amen.
You've just listened to the Westside Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit thewestsidechurch.com or laicc.net.